I sense the presence of God so real in this place. It's almost as if you're afraid of saying anything. I almost feel like, you know, when there was a revival in Wales that you all have heard about, Evan Roberts came into a meeting packed with people, and he almost couldn't get up to the platform to speak. And then he called out, he says, "Is Jesus here?" And the congregation said back, "Yes." So he said again, "Is Jesus here?" And they said, "Yes." Well, he said, "Then you don't need me." And he left because he had to go to another meeting. And and that meeting continued, he said. The whole congregation just kept on praising and worshiping God, and God moved in a powerful way. Yes, God is with us, and it's so wonderful to sense when we, the worship team, and we worship him together in Jesus' name. I just want to pray and ask God, God, will you continue to bless? God, give me the words that you will for me to say. Because without the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, there is no point in doing it. But God, you, thank you, we can be in your hands this morning, Jesus. I praise you for you will move in a precious, mighty way among us. In Jesus' name. I'll just begin by going to the, and it's a verse that all of us know. And that is John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have life everlasting." Life everlasting. Now, I want to go back to the beginning when God first created Adam and Eve. And everything in that garden was perfect. And I can see God coming down in the cool of the day, as the Bible says. And when Adam and Eve heard he's coming, I can just sort of picture them. "Father is coming. Let's go to meet him," with excitement. And he took them in his hand and he walks through the garden with them and he says, "Look, all this I have made for you. You can eat of all the fruit. There's no law, there's no limitations. It's yours. Just look after and take care of it. But there's a tree in the center of the garden. Don't touch it. Don't go there. That's mine and only mine. If you eat of that tree, you will die." And they said, "Oh no, Father, we'd never go there and touch that one because we got all that we need." But one day the serpent came and Eve got interested and began to listen to him. And he said, "Did God really say that you can't eat of all the fruit in the garden?" No, he didn't say that. He said that we can eat of all of it except for the one tree in the center. Because if we eat of that tree, we'll die. And the serpent said, "No, don't listen to God. Listen to me. Eat of that fruit, and you will be wise. You will know the difference between good and evil." So they got tempted. Eve looked at it, and it looked good. And she took it, and she ate, and she gave to Adam as well. And then they noticed that they were naked and went into hiding. And when God came in the cool of the day, that day in the garden, they went in, and God had to call them. They didn't come running toward them anymore. And God called and said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, "I was afraid because we are naked." And God said, "Who told you that? Have you eaten of the forbidden fruit? Well, that woman that you gave me, she made me do it." What an excuse. And he said, "Woman, what have you done?" Well, she said, "The serpent, he deceived me and I ate." And he said to the serpent, he cursed the serpent, but he didn't curse Adam and Eve. But he did make clothes for them and took them outside the garden because sin separated. The relationship they had with God died. And he took them out, he closed the gate, set cherubims with flaming swords to make sure that nobody could again return and come in. But God had a plan of salvation. And time went on and they sacrificed. It says in the fourth chapter of Genesis, they began to call on God. And as we all know, it came up to the time of Noah, and God had to just wipe out the whole population. Only Noah and his family were saved, plus a pair of each of the animals. And time went on, and it came to the time of Abraham. And God called him out of the Ur in the Chaldea and promised him the land of Canaan and said that all people will be blessed in him and in his people. And he also promised him a son, but it took a long time before that promise was fulfilled. It came to a place where there was no longer any hope that that could happen. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah 90, and nobody had heard of anybody at that age having a baby. But God said it will happen, and he gave Isaac to them. And when Isaac was, most people think, a teenager, God said to Abraham, take your son Isaac, go up to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him to me. I want him back. His only son that he had. So Abraham loaded up his donkey, took two of his servants along with him, went for 3 days until the mountain that God had pointed out came into view. And he says to his servants, you wait here. The boy and I will go up and sacrifice. And on the way up, Isaac said, Father, I see here you have the wood and you have the fire for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? And Abraham prophesied and said, God will for himself provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. And God provided a sacrifice for that time. Isaac did not have to give his life. But there was a prophecy for an event that was going to happen in the future. And when Jesus came walking toward John the Baptist and John saw him, he said to his disciples, there is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God that takes it away. And when Jesus was condemned by Pilate and came and was to be crucified, and Jesus could have wiped out that whole Roman, all of it, with just a single word, because he was God living in a human body. He had all power on heaven and on earth, but he willingly, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. And Jesus hung on that cross, and blood was flowing down onto Golgotha. And when every disciples, all his friends left him, he was hanging there all by himself. And when Jesus died, something happened. The curtain in the temple split from top to bottom. And that which had been closed, only open for the high priest to go in once a year, now it was open. Now we can come through the blood of Jesus and enter into the holies of holies. God is inviting and saying to us, come in. Come in, you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All sins are gone. We can with confidence enter into the very presence of a holy, almighty God in Jesus' name. If you will, I would say that the gate into Eden is again open. And God is saying to you and me, come in and eat of all the fruit, including the tree of life. For God today is blessing and he's coming, and He wants us to come in and receive all the gifts that he has for us, all the fruit he has for us. He wants us to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control and faithfulness. God is filling his people today. Let's go in. Let's not do like in many places in Christianity today. People come inside the door, just across the threshold, and for some unexplainable reason, they know what God is inviting them, but they stop at that point. All they seem to be able to take in is a bit of milk, just like a baby does. Falling asleep again after they've been filled. And waking up again and saying, give me, give me, give me. You know, that's not what God intended for any of us to be at that stage. Yes, we love new babies. Yes, we'll help them. Yes, we'll lead them on. But God does want us to move in and be filled with the Holy Spirit and the power that God will give us. I have to tell you that we had a family reunion over in Norway a few years back, and it so spoke to me at that time what happened. And so cousins and nieces and nephews, we went over there. We flew from Sydney, Vancouver, Amsterdam, and it was going to be Amsterdam, Stavanger, Norway. When we came to Vancouver, it soon came up on the TV screen, KLM Amsterdam delayed. And we came there we were supposed to leave about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We sat all night waiting. Finally, at about 5 o'clock in the morning, we were cleared to go. Now, coming to Amsterdam, of course, there's no connection to keep on going. So the airline paid for us, took us into Amsterdam in a 5-star hotel, all expenses paid. We tried to go up and sleep overnight and come down in the morning into the lobby because the restaurant was just inside there. And here I see two of my nephews outside the restaurant door with a coffee maker. So I said to them, what are you doing out here? Why don't we go in? I mean, everything is paid for. And they seemed a bit confused about that. They said, come with me, we'll go in. And here is the best breakfast that you could possibly think of. Absolutely everything. As much as you like, whatever you like, it's all yours. Isn't that what God has said to us too? Don't stay outside the door. Come in and eat and be filled. Because we need the fullness of the Spirit of God today. We have to eat from this word of God. We have to take it in and be blessed. We have to pray and sense that the Spirit of God is moving in our hearts. Because God will again to revive us. This is a time when we cannot afford to just stay back without going in. You know, there's been many, many revivals up during time. There's the revival in Wales that saved 100,000 people. Because God moved in such a powerful way. There was the Pentecostal revival that started in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, spread across the whole globe, and it's still going on in many places. And millions of people were saved. There was a revival up in the Hebrides outside of Scotland. And there was this church here had about 200 to 300 people. And I can say this, if we had come to that church and just before the revival came, we would probably have said, no, this is not for me. Because there was only older people. There was no young people. They had no instrument for music, no piano, no organ, nothing. Because they had this strange idea that musical instruments was of the devil. Now, where they got that from, don't ask me. But anyway, they had people there that prayed and they sang the Psalms of God. With a heart that longed for God. And there are people there that prayed. There were some older ladies that prayed almost day and night. And then they decided to call an evangelist from England by the name of Doug Campbell. And he at that time said he couldn't come because he had an assignment with a conference down in England. But the Holy Spirit said to him, go. So he left everything and went up to the Hebrides. And when he came up late in the afternoon, they first met him and they said, well, you know, I guess you're hungry. We should go home and have supper. But I just want you to come to the church, they said, and meet with the people. So he came to the church, met the people, and began to preach to them. And that meeting went on to 11 o'clock that night. And he said they had a very good meeting. The presence of God was so real. It was just wonderful. And, of course, going to 11 o'clock, you know, that doesn't happen every day. But then when they finally closed the meeting and on their way out, came to the front door and looked outside, here are 600 to 700 people waiting outside to get in. They hadn't advertised, they had done nothing. The people didn't even know why they came. They just knew they had to go and hear the gospel. So he opened up the door and they came in and they were seeking God and people got saved and fell down under the power of the Spirit. And God just moved in such a wonderful way that meeting ended at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what happens when the Spirit of God is moving. You just can't leave. And this is what we need to pray for, that God will do among us again. That we will see that power of the Holy Spirit. You know, many times now I hear people say, for an example, the future of the church is the internet. Well, I'll tell you something. If you believe that the future of the church is the internet, you are going to be sadly disappointed. Now, I want us to use every means we possibly can today when we can use it. Use the internet, use any kind of advertising. Go ahead, use it by all means. But the future of the church is the church with a meeting with God's Holy Spirit and receive the power of God. Because then you don't even have to advertise. People will be set on fire and moving out in a way that you have never seen before. Filled with the Spirit, filled with Jesus. Jesus is here. That's what there's hope here. And many times where these great revivals have happened, somehow if you go back in some of these places, there's still revivals going on. There's still people left, little pockets here and there. But it's not like it used to be. There is a lot of churches today in Europe, in England, and I'm sure in America and here as well, some have been turned into museums. In England, I forget the number now, but a lot of churches have been sold and turned into mosques. And there's little more left than dead bones among them. But we have to say, is there hope for the dead bones? Is there hope for the dead bones? When Ezekiel was brought out of God, out of the valley of dead bones, and he saw them, and they had been dead a long time because they were very dry. And God says to him, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered and said, God, you know. I can't answer that question. So God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. And Ezekiel began to prophesy, and the bones began to move. Bone to bone, and flesh came upon them. Skin came upon them. And they took on an appearance as if they were living, but there's no life in them yet. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the Spirit. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, moved upon them, and they stood up on their feet. And they became a great, mighty army in the hands of a living, almighty God in Jesus' name. People, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will set up a standard against him. Now the question is this, will you and me join the Salvation Army of God? Will I come and volunteer and come there? Because today we see the enemy coming in. It's like a tsunami. It just levels whole communities, fills them with sin and filth, things that we couldn't even have imagined a few years ago. Families have been split apart. Young kids are going to killing themselves, giving up. There's nothing more to live for. But God is saying today to each one of us, will you enlist in my Salvation Army? Will you come? Will you know that the Spirit of God is upon us? For he has anointed you and me and each one of us to proclaim the good news among those who are hopeless, to go out and heal the brokenhearted, to come and set the captives free, to open prison doors for those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in Jesus' name. God wants to move among us. God is awakening us today. God is sending us a new revival, and let us be prepared and ready to go his way. You know, when Jesus left his disciples, he said to them, wait for me in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And they waited, and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then he said, go out into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, throughout the whole globe. You know what God is saying to you and to me today? Wait for me in Jerusalem. Make your own home, your Jerusalem, where you meet with God in the morning. Begin the day meeting with God, being filled out of Spirit, and eat the word that he has given to us. And then go, and then know that the steps of righteous people, God's people, are ordered by God. Then we will come into that situation that God is leading us to, and we will be prepared to do what he wants us to do. You and I, well, I do anyway, sometimes thinking, what can I do? I'm not qualified for any of these things. But the Bible says, give thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has redeemed us. He has cleansed us by the blood of Jesus. What more qualifications do we need to be able to go out and spread the good news among the people? Because there are multitudes outside today who have no idea who Jesus is. But God is calling us today, now, stand up and be counted. Wake up and get up. God wants to move in a way that we have not experienced before. Because God is reviving his people. And we will pray not just for our own congregation, but we will pray for every congregation in our community and beyond. We'll ask God to fill them, to awaken them. We'll ask God to touch every pastor in our area. We'll ask him for those who have compromised the gospel, that they will come back and preach a pure and holy and righteous gospel in Jesus' name, and not compromise, not leave anything behind, but say, this is what God says today, and we will see. We will see results. For if my people will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear in heaven and turn from their evil ways and seek my face. Then I'll hear in heaven and heal their land. And God is saying today, then I'll hear in heaven and heal your community. I'll heal your families. I'll heal your sons and your daughters. I'll bring the prodigals home again. I will move mightily among you. Many, many multitudes of people shall be saved in Jesus' name. The time is today to pray and seek God, and He will. Because the will of God is for every single one that lives to be saved. Oh, that we would give our lives totally to Him. That we are complete surrender unto Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. Oh, that we could reach out to Him even right now. Reach your hands up towards heaven and say, Jesus, God, move among us in Jesus' name. God, set us free from anything that holds us down. God, let there be a cleansing of the blood of Jesus that frees us, that we be able to go out and proclaim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, let it be that. Oh, let us know and understand that we are risen with Christ. Then seek those things which are above. For Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ appears, who is our life, then we also shall appear with Him in glory. Praise Him and bless Him. Let there be an inner burden laid upon our hearts that will cry out to Jesus. For God will to save. You have been praying for your sons and daughters. We have all had those that are outside and we feel that agony when we don't see them come. But this is a day when God is going to bring our sons, our daughters home again. This is going to be a day when the prodigals are returning again. This is going to be a day when God fills His houses again. This is going to be a day when the glory of God is going to go over and above, and Jesus is going to be lifted up and glorified. And we will worship and we'll praise and we'll thank Him. For nothing is impossible for our God in Jesus' name. Praise Him and thank Him. Oh, let there be praise. Let lift our hands. Lift up your arms and praise Him. For God will to fill His people. He will to fill His people this day with the holy and powerful Spirit of Jesus. God, move across this sanctuary. Let the Spirit fall upon your people. Let it be as in the day of Pentecost, God, when people stood up and worshipped and praised and called on Jesus. God, move mightily among us. Oh, let this be the day of revival, God, when the fire of God lays hold of our hearts and minds. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and thank you, Jesus. Help us all to realize, God, that one day we were all dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh. But He has made us alive again together with Him and forgiven us all trespasses. He has taken the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us, taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Defeated principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle out of them, triumphing over them in it. God wants us to live in that triumph. God wants us daily to be touched of His Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, oh, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.